doesn't go fast, I don't want to drive it. It's just how it is. Amen. How's everybody doing this evening? Y'all look awesome. Amen. Poke your neighbor and say, you look great. Amen. It's good to see y'all. It really is. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and pray and we will get started. Amen. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for an opportunity to gather around your word to feed our faith. Father God, just like we did throughout the day, we fed our natural man. We thank you, Father God, now we're about to feed our spiritual man. I thank you, Father God, that my tongue will be as the pen of a ready writer, bringing forth truths this evening that will help each and every single person, that they will draw out things from me that I did not plan on saying, but they will be specifically for each person. They will help them. And not only for them, but also for myself, Father God. And we pull on those things by faith right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Well, and Holy Ghost, sir, we ask you to unveil and reveal truth to us this evening. And we thank you for it. And we praise you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody that's in agreement said amen. Amen. We're going to be talking about faith, or why do people doubt, a little bit of everything, I think. So we'll just kind of go for it, see? Amen. So turn over to John 15:7, please. What is this one? This one is a modern English. As a side note, nothing to do with the message. Anybody had any opportunities to walk in love lately? Yeah, man. Yep. Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's good. Amen. You know, once you start hearing about it, you're going to have the opportunities to exercise it. Amen. I had a great opportunity yesterday. Amen. I'll just tell on myself because I know me. So we're moving right now. And I got a little aggravated because we're moving. And not because we're moving, but I was at the house. And I ended up being there by myself, right? And so I had to move this fridge by myself. And I was just finally like, whatever, I'm just moving it, right? And so that's kind of pretty stupid. Right, and so I ended up getting it on a dolly, and I get it down the driveway, and I'm getting it up on the trailer, and it kind of gets stuck, and so I'm like, momentum. So I push it up the driveway a little bit, and I get it back, and we get up on one tire and start going down the driveway sideways. I managed to get it back flat, hallelujah, but I really, really almost hurt myself. Obviously didn't learn, because whenever we was unloading it by myself, use their moral support. Don't do it, Ricky. Shut up. I just want to get it done. Because I'm, you know, work all day and then you're moving. I'm done. I just want to get this over with, be done with it. I'm tired of waiting. And so I really almost messed my back up, because I got out of love, to be honest with you. I really did. I was getting aggravated. I was getting mad. And so it's interesting, whenever we allow those things to come in, then we just start doing stupid stuff. Right? And so I really could have hurt my back. I really could have. I mean, it started getting, afterwards I was like, God, I repent right now, because I could feel it. I really could. I said, God, I repent. I was being stupid. And I went to her and I said, I'm sorry, because I was being a little short with her. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry, and I ask you to forgive me. Because I know if I don't get this straight right now, you're about to be messed up, boy. And I ain't about to walk around with a hurt back anymore. I had that for years. Ain't gonna do that. Amen. So I was just curious if anybody else had any opportunities to walk through love like me. Every day. Good Lord. Maybe you're taking the same test over, buddy. I'm joking. Amen. John 15:7. It says, the King James, if you abide, you got it in King James, yeah. If you abide in me, and what? You will ask what you will, and it might be done. Maybe if you pray long enough, if you pray hard enough, if you don't drink any Coca-Cola, if you don't eat any chocolate cake, if you do 3 Hail Marys in front of your mirror.
Yeah.
Amen. If you abide in me, say if you abide in me.
You abide in me.
See, that's the key.
Amen.
See, if you abide in me and then my words abide in you, it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me and my words, not Ricky, this is God.
Right.
His words abide where?
In me.
Where?
In me.
Not just in us, but in us speaking, right? Not just, you know, we're not just keeping them hostage in us, right? We're using them. We're speaking them. Right? Amen. We will ask what? What we will, and what will be done.
It'll be done.
It will be done. Amen. Whenever trials come to some people, they cast the word out and believe in the circumstance or the problem they have Whenever trials come to some people, they cast the word out and believe in the circumstance, the problem they have. They believe in the circumstance, and then the problem they have. I wrote that all weird. They believe in the circumstance and the problems they have. That's weird. I don't know why I wrote it like that. In the circumstance. They have more faith in the ability of the devil to hinder them than God to get them through victoriously.
Amen.
Thank God we got through that sentence. Oh, son. This is me working at work, working, and trying to, you know, get it in my phone at the same time. Amen. We're getting there. Hallelujah. We can have great faith in God and great faith in His ability, but doubt that He will do it for me. Amen. We can have great faith in God, great faith in His ability, but doubt that He will do it for me. Amen. We can have great faith in God, great faith in His ability, but doubt that He'll do it for me. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to read this one to you. James 5:15, it obviously, in there it says, if the prayer of faith will heal the what? The sick. So what will the prayer of doubt do? Yeah, man. Get you a place you don't want to go, right? If that's the case, you might as well just don't pray for me. Just take me to the hospital. Amen, right? Let's go over to Matthew 10 real fast. Matthew 10:1. Verse 1. Matthew 10, 1, here's King James. It says, when he had called unto him his what? His 12 disciples. Who's talking? Jesus, right? He gave them what? Power or authority. Against what? To do what with them? And to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases. I'd underline that. Amen. So all manners of diseases, of sicknesses, and all manners of diseases. But first off, it says that he gave them the authority, right? He gave them power over unclean spirits. He didn't just give it to them. Amen. Should have heard a great amen. We also have that same authority. We also have that same power. Amen. But I'm wanting y'all to see this for a reason. He gave, right here, he gave them the power, the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out. Correct? That's what the Bible says, right? And to heal all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases, right? Go over to Mark 6 real fast, please. Mark 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And gave them, say, and gave them power over what? Amen. So he gave them power over unclean spirits, correct? Or my Bible once again says he gave them authority. Authority over unclean spirits. Amen. Turn over to Luke 9, verse 1. Please. Luke 9, 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what?
Power.
Amen. So he gave them power and authority over what? What does all mean? Amen. And to cure what? Amen. I agree. God commissioned the disciples, not just the disciples. Amen. Us as well. Amen. To cast out demons, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Amen. That's what my mind says. It says that together he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. In the Matthew 10:1, it says, in my modern English, it says all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. All kinds. Which manner, all manner of diseases, the same thing. Amen. But God didn't just commission the 12. He also commissioned who? Us. Amen. But we just read three different places where God gave them authority, amen, over unclean spirits to cast them out, right? And to cure all diseases, right? Amen. I agree. Let's go over to Matthew 17 real fast. Matthew 17, we'll start about verse 14. I'm going to read it to you out of the modern English. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man came to him before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they what? Amen. You can pull it up in the King James, it's fine. That way people can see it that don't have a Bible. Thank you. It says, but they could not do what? heal him. Amen. It says, but they could not heal him or cure him. Amen. And then Jesus said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Bring him here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and he came out of him. And the child was healed instantly. Amen. Amen. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of what? I would highlight that. I would make a very, very good note of that. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing. Say nothing. What does nothing mean? Exactly. Shall be impossible unto God. See, a lot of times we read that and we think unto God. But he said unto you. Because see, he gave us the authority. Jesus, we're seated at the right hand of God. The same authority Jesus had here on earth, we have. Amen. Amen. So he said, there's like, so why can't we do anything? Why can't we do it? He said, well, simply because of your unbelief, right? Amen. That's what I got out of it too. Let's go over to Mark 9 real fast, please. Mark 9, we'll start about verse 14. What does the passion say? Ma'am? Now when they came down the mountain to the other nine disciples, they noticed a large crowd of people gathering around them with the religious scholars arguing with them. The crowd was astonished to see Jesus himself walking toward them, so they immediately ran to welcome him. What are you arguing about with the religious scholars? He asked them. A man spoke up out of the crowd. Teacher, he said, I have a son possessed by a demon. Amen. So what did God give, or what did Jesus, what did we read about earlier? What did Jesus anoint the disciples to do? Cast out who? And then also to do what? Heal all manners of sickness and diseases, right? Amen. Possessed by a demon that makes him mute. I brought him here to you, Jesus. Whenever the demon takes control of him, it knocks him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth, and his body becomes stiff as a board. I brought him to your disciples hoping they could deliver him, but they were not strong enough. And right there, strong enough means they weren't able to cast him out. Jesus said to the crowd, Why are you such a faithless people? How much longer must I remain with you and put up with you your unbelief? Now bring the boy to me. So they brought him to Jesus. As soon as the demon saw him, it threw the boy into what? Interesting, ain't it? He fell to the ground, rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Jesus turned to the father and asked, How long has your son been tormented like this? Since childhood, he replied. It tries over and over to kill him by throwing him into a fire or water. But please, if you're able to do something, anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, "What do you mean if?" Amen. And I love how he put it back on him. He said, "If you're able to believe." See, he didn't leave it on him. He said, "Look, there's not even an if I'm able. There's not an if in my vocabulary if I have power or if there's an ability lacking on my part. I don't even understand what that word means, but if you're able to believe." Amen. It's not ever on God's part. It's not. It's if we're able to believe. That's what it really boils down to. Well, I want a $1 million house. Well, if you're able to believe. Well, I want a Rolls Royce car. Well, if you're able to believe. Well, I want to own my own business. Well, if you're able to believe. Because all these are promises from God that belong to who? Us, his kids. We got to understand that we're kids. We're not servants. We're not under the old covenant. This is a new covenant. We're kids. And just like we have kids, we always want to do better for our kids. We work a little harder than our parents did because we're wanting to do better for our kids. Right? We're not saying that our parents didn't do nothing for us, but we're just wanting to do better like our parents tried to do better for us than their parents did for them. Right? So, and how do you think God is? First off, he created everything that we're looking at. And he's like, if you can believe it, you can have it. And if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. Jesus said to him, "What do you mean if? If you are able to believe, all things are possible to the believer." Say the believer. Amen. I'd write that down. All things are possible to the believer. Amen. All things are possible to. See, it's. Amen. It doesn't say to the Christian. It doesn't say to the one that never misses one church service. It doesn't say to the person that always helps clean. It doesn't say to the person that always volunteers. It doesn't say to the person that never misses tithe, that always tithes and always gives. It doesn't. As a matter of fact, it's got none of that in there. But it does say, all things are possible to the very specific, very, very specific to the. So that a way we understand. That a way there's no question. There's not, I wonder how I can do this. He's telling us, look, all things are possible to. And he doesn't leave it at that. He says, to the very specific believer. Amen. Next, please, ma'am. Thank you. When he heard this, the boy's father cried out with tears, saying, "I do believe. Lord, help my little faith." King James says, "Help my unbelief." Now when Jesus saw that, the crowd was quickly growing larger. He commanded the demon, saying, "Deaf and mute spirit." What kind of demon was it? Yeah, you could tell that by, if you read the King James, that's what the boy was. He is deaf and mute. That's what kind of spirit it was. "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." Amen. Now look at this very closely. The demon shrieked and did what? And finally came out of him. But look, the demon shrieked and threw the boy into terrible seizures. It's interesting. I can't prove it. You can't disprove it. All right. But I'm convinced. I'll read you something real fast. I'm convinced this is what happened whenever the disciples, because the disciples did pray for the boy, didn't they? Because the dad already told Jesus, look, they tried but couldn't, didn't he? Anybody else remember that we just read that 5 seconds ago? Thank God, because we was about to have a healing line. Amen. Amen. Whenever the disciples rebuked the demon, I'm convinced that this is what happened whenever the disciples rebuked the demon. That he shrieked and threw himself down in convulsions. And I wonder if it looked like, well, John, I tried, but it don't look like it worked. You try now. A lot of times we'll pray for something and we don't see it changing instantly because Satan will always try to make it look like it's not working. Whenever you do pray for something, he always makes it look like it's about to explode. He always makes it look 1,000 times worse right there at the end. Whenever you speak to something, he makes it look that much worse, like it's not working. And so then people get the idea of, and so they start off in faith and hit unbelief instantly because the circumstance now that they're observing with their eye talked them right out of the faith that they just spoke 5 seconds ago. And so I'm convinced because the disciples did pray for the boy. They did. The dad even told them, said, look, your disciples did, but they did, they couldn't do it. So I wonder if they went up there and they said, you know what? God gave us Jesus gave us the authority to cast out demons. We read it, right? And so they went up there and said, come out, devil, in the name of Jesus. Shrieked, threw himself down, said, oh, Peter, I tried, now you do it. Look, he's just shrieking and throwing himself down. It didn't work. You do something now. And so now all the faith he just spoke in unbelief instantly. Because the circumstance isn't confirming what he just spoke in faith. And so we're looking for something to confirm what we spoke in faith whenever the Bible says don't use your senses to confirm your faith. Use the Word of God to confirm your faith. Speak it and know that God has it's done. It's mine and I have it now. That's what the Word of God says. But they observed something else that was contrary to what they spoke. And it made them question if they even had faith, authority, or if God was even able to do what he said he can do. And so everything that they spoke out, they quickly retracted. Now, once again, I can't prove it. You can't disprove it. But I do know that the dad even told him, Jesus, look, they prayed for him. Didn't happen. Amen. The reason people doubt is because they observe the circumstances more than they do the Word of God. Amen. I'll read that again. The reason people doubt is because they observe the circumstances more than they do the Word of God. Amen. Unbelief is caused by what you believe. I like that. Unbelief is caused by what you believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's turn over real fast. Where was we at? Mark 9. Where did we get to? Yeah, we're good. We can now. The demon shrieked and threw the boy into terrible seizures and finally came out of him. And can you pull that? Well, I'll read it to you out of modern English here. The spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly, but it came out of him, and he, the boy, was as dead, so that many said, he is dead. So everybody thought he was dead, right? But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Amen. So see, even though the circumstance was trying to convince Jesus that, hey, look, what you spoke ain't happening. What you're speaking ain't the truth. It's not the word. He's dead now. Look what you did. You killed him. Good job. And all these people were watching you. You look like a fool. Amen. Genesis 16, please. We doing all right? All right. Amen. I'm in Exodus. That's why it didn't make sense to me. Genesis 16, about verse 1. If you got time, read 15. God told Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations, right?
Yes.
Okay, amen. So verse 16, it says, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had bore him how many children? Absolutely none. Big goose egg, right? And she had a maidservant, an Egyptian, whose name was what? Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Went from faith right to unbelief real quick because of a circumstance. Because of a circumstance. But I thought God told you that you were the father and mother of many nations. But you're allowing a circumstance to tell you that God's lying. Amen. Moving along. And Sarah said unto him, behold, I have restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go unto my handmaid. And he was like, hallelujah, I'm out. Right? Yeah. So apparently, I thought it was funny. Nobody else did, but we're moving along. That I may obtain children by her. And he did it, right? Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Abram. So he was just as wrong as her. Amen. I said he was just as wrong as her, because he was like, okay, well, maybe you're right. But yet you just made a covenant with God. Amen. So you started out in faith and you started going strong, but then circumstances came up and then you kind of started going, God needs some help with this. maybe I need to help God do this. Well, maybe God wants to do it this way. That's probably it. I'll do it this way. Oh, you know what? I bet God wants to do it this way. I'll do it this way. And you haven't heard anything, and you want to know why? Because he hasn't told you to do it that way. That's why. And the other reason is you didn't ask. Amen. We're just going to keep on going. Amen. Abraham believed God and doubted. But yet we do that same thing sometimes. We believe, God, you are able. How in the world are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to pay this? God, you're able. Thank you, God. We're in overflow. Get home. What do you mean the kids need some more shoes? You think I'm made out of money? You crazy? Okay, apparently that just happens at my house. We're moving along, all right? No, it don't happen at my house. Amen. He believed God would give him a son, Abraham, right? Believed God would give him a son, but doubted that God was able to do it. So he is trying to help God out. Him and Sarah both, right? Amen. It's almost 8, so I'm just going to kind of shoot real fast. No, I'm not. Amen. Hallelujah. And, all right. I ain't going to lie to you. Whenever I did the notes, I was like, 20 minutes. Tops. We'll be out here early. Whew. What cured Abram from doubting? What cured Abram from doubting? Whenever he started calling himself, amen. What cured Abram? What cured Abram from doubting? Whenever he started calling himself, what God called him. Amen. Whenever he was 99, God changed his name to what? Which means, You know, it was about 10 months after that he had Isaac. Go over to Genesis 17. It's just a couple of chapters over. Genesis 17. Up in the King James is fine. It says, when Abraham, verse 1, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God. Amen. Walk before me and be thou what? Blameless. Be thou perfect or be thou blameless. Amen. And blameless, right here in mine, I got it underlined, and then I got out to the side, stop talking about what you can't do. Amen. Stop talking about what you can't do. He said, and I will make my covenant between you and me, and will exceedingly multiply you. Amen. And Abram fell on his face, and then verse 5, it said, No longer will your name be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Amen. And then you go down to verse 15. It says, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you will not call her name Sarai, but her name will be called what? I will bless her and also give you a son by her. By her. Amen. It was about 10 months after he started calling himself what God called him that he had received the promise. Amen. I wonder how long it'll take whenever we start calling ourselves what God calls us that we'll receive what our promise. Amen. What's our promise? Well, health, wealth, amen, victory. Amen. Some people say that Abraham waited 25 years for his promise. That's not correct, right? Because there was still a little bit of doubt in Abraham, right? So God gave him his word, which whenever God gave him his word, that was, he changed his name, right? That was his word, changed his name so that the doubt would be eradicated out of his life. See, it's funny because some people do say that well, Abraham waited 25 years for God to give him his son. No, he didn't. If that was the case, then why did God have to change his name? Why did God have to change his name then? God had to wait on him to get to the place to be able to receive the son that he told him about 25 years ago. He was waiting on him a long time. And he just wasn't getting it. And so finally God said, I got to do something. I'll give him my word. What was his word? I'm gonna change your name to Father of Many Nations. What's our word? The word of God. See, and if we abide in him, and his word abides in us. See, and his word abided in Abraham, because everywhere Abraham went, he said, I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. I'm a father of many nations. So that word was constantly in his mouth every single day. I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. And it went from not receiving anything for 25 years to within 10 months receiving the promise. That fast, the word of God changed on the inside of him. He didn't change God. God was able to get the word on the inside of him and changed him to actually to get to the place to believe that God was able. Amen, right? Amen. We're going to stop. Amen. Father God, we do love, thank you, praise you. Magnify your holy name, and we thank you for your word, Father God. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you, Father God. We will continue to grow in faith, feed on your word, feed our spiritual man. And I thank you, Father God, we will not allow this to fall to the wayside. We'll continue to meditate on it and to grow in it, Father God. And we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody agrees and amen.